welcome to Voices Love of Freedom.
Talk Radio.
I'll tell you what I believe, and that is that you're going to face Jesus one of these days when you leave this world. And he's not going to say, come on in here, son, you were half right when it comes to going to heaven. And I really think we've got some major problem thinking that, Jesus loves me and Jesus is going to look the other way on my sins. And, you know, that all might be possible before the time of the printing press and the fact that you probably have 10 Bibles sitting at your kitchen table at the house. But in this day and time, guess what? Jesus knows. Jesus knows beyond the shadow of a doubt everything that you have done, the intent of your heart. So it's a dangerous game to be sitting there playing knowing that you got some things that are going on, because Jesus is the one that can cure those things. You know, if you've got a problem and you got saved and you fought the problem and you did good for a while and then you let it creep back in, listen, you wouldn't be the only one to ever do that, because that can happen to anybody. You know, there's lots of things that happen in your walk along the way with Jesus that can get you far away from Jesus or off the path from Jesus. But at the end of the day, you know, you want to come back. You got to come back, because we're getting into a position of times where everybody, I don't look at myself and say, Lord, the Bible says, search me, Lord. And that's a prayer that Peter had there in Psalms. He said, search me, Lord, and show me where I'm falling short. We don't have that prayer request so much anymore, because our prayer is like, Lord, if you show me my problems, I'll show you someone else who's worse at that than me, so I'll deflect it over here somehow. Well, that's not going to help us. You know, that's not our answer. So there's a lot in this thing. As we get further down the road, man, there's a bunch of things that we have just absolutely got to pay better attention to. And a lot of it deals with, you know, I mean, I go back to that wheat and the tare parable all the time. And it says, you know, you let the wheat and the tares grow together, because if you start going into a field and you start trying to figure out who's, you know, who's a wheat and who's a tare, you're not only going to tear up the good and the bad, but you don't know. You don't know the hearts of people. The only thing that we know is the outward showing of what's going on. We know if somebody does something that we can outwardly observe, that we could easily say, hey, listen, we've got to correct this, you know, because, you know, you want to correct it, but more than anything, you know, it's got to be corrected, because you need to be able to see where you're wrong. And we're in a day and time where nobody sees where they're wrong anymore. Nobody sees anything. And that's a real problem, because I tell you what, it's the point, even still, after being saved for 22 years, there's something about stopping for a moment and thinking about the sinner that I was. Now, it says over there in 1 John that if a saved person sits around now and says, well, I'm saved now, I have no sin, I'm perfect, I'm this, that, and the other, that guess what? That I deceive myself and the truth is not in me. And what does that mean? Well, the truth of God lives in me now, and God himself lives in me now that I'm saved. So if I'm in a situation and I start to look around and I start to see that, wow, you know, all of a sudden I'm either better than everybody else or I'm lower than everybody else or whatever. I forgot to examine myself, you see, or I don't remember what a sinner I was. You get that with a lot of people that get saved. They don't realize what a maniac they were. Well, guess what? I do. And I'm glad that God keeps that in remembrance of me, because it shows me how far he's brought me. But at the same time, when I read that verse in 1 John, it tells me, man, I still have to pay attention to what's going on. I still can't go along and pretend like we don't have problems if we've got problems, if I'm a pastor of a church. I still can't, in my household, I can't go on and you know, well, you know, I know my daughter uses drugs or does this or does that, but, you know, I'm going to pretend like it doesn't that it's not real or whatever. Well, that's a big problem in society today. You see, one of our biggest issues today deals with the fact that we pretended that our kids didn't have problems, or we continued that this wasn't a problem, or we said, well, I've got pain from this injury, and I let it go, and it wasn't a problem, and now I'm addicted, and now I can't get off of it. So we can let a problem go too far. But then on the other side of things, I think as a Christian, we'll let something go too far, because we know ultimately the great physician is Jesus, so he's the one that's going to heal you. He's the one that's going to save you. He's the one that's going to put you in a position, you see. He's going to put you in a position to be used. He's going to put you in a position to be a new creature. He's the one that can look on the heart. I have no idea what's going on in your heart, you know. But all I know is we're into a day and time where everybody's aggravated with everybody else. And if we would look at ourselves, look at what's going on in our own lives, you know. The Christian ought to be the happiest person in the world, because eternally I'm locked up and saved in a place called heaven. But instead I choose to sit around thinking, well, you know, I don't have this and I don't have that, and they take up every Sunday because I go to church. You know, let me tell you something. I got to be honest with you. So many people are looking at church like this big anchor holding you down. Church will not save you. And if you're only worried about Sunday and fellowship with Jesus Christ, you got bigger problems than missing church. And there's just some people that have fixated on that, and you're going to find out that wasn't the end-all, be-all, or the be-all, end-all, however you pronounce that. Because I have a personal relationship with Jesus. He goes everywhere with me. Now, in the old days, you know, Jesus went into, where did he go into there on his way to his death? Jerusalem. Rode in on the donkey. Why was he going? Because everybody was going there to pay their tithe and to make their prayer requests and to, you know, the Passover and all that. You know, there was something going on. Well, guess what has happened since Jesus came into the world? When Jesus went back to the Father, he said, I'm going to send the Comforter. And when he sent the Comforter, guess what? He sent the Comforter. There's God living inside of me now. So the most beautiful thing about God living inside of me is the fact that I can take him anywhere. I can talk to him anytime. And so many times we don't realize, in the Old Testament times, before Jesus came, before Jesus rent the veil or tore the veil in half that opened access to God to us and redeemed us, okay? He's redeemed us back to Jesus, okay? Reconciled was the word I was really looking for. He's reconciled us back to God. He's opened up the communication line back to God. Listen, folks, that's a beautiful thing. We ought to be jumping sideways. We're so excited about the opportunity to get to Jesus Christ. I mean, to me, I mean that's the most exciting thing that I mean, you know, looking back, I knew it as a kid. I mean, I had a 17-year-old boy preach for us yesterday, and a 17-year-old girl taught we had special visitors, so we had a room full of 12-year-old girls, and she did that. Gracie Brumfield just slammed it out of the park. Young people can do something for Jesus Christ. You see, young people can do something for Jesus Christ. Man, oh man. Our problem is these young people get ready to do something. We won't let them do it in church, so they go do it somewhere else. Maybe they do it on the ball field. I have nothing wrong with the ball field. Nope, there's no problem with the ball field. You see? And that's just the way it is. You know, there's so much wrong, and there's so much sadness, because everybody wants everybody to live to their own expectations. They want to lay it out there for everybody else to live by, but then they won't even live by the rules that they set, which in sayings that we've heard is, do as I say, not as I do. We've heard that a lot. Well, that's a nice one, isn't it? We get that a lot from, well, I'm not even going to get into that. That's just that'd be just stirring the pot a little bit. But that's where we're at in society today. You know, and we've empowered people, and we've said everybody's got a voice, and everybody does have a voice. But I read one time or saw one time in a classroom, it says, well, it must not have been in a classroom, but it said, when you keep quiet something, people don't know if you're smart or not, but if you open your mouth, then you remove all doubt or something like that, which means, listen, if you'll listen, you're so much better off than when you talk for several reasons. You know, if I'm talking, I can't learn anything because I already know what I'm talking about, hopefully, right? Or if I'm teaching from a text of somebody else's information. But when I listen to other people, I'm learning what they know, right? Nobody wants to listen anymore. Everybody knows everything. Everybody's tore up at everybody else, you know. It's just one thing after another, you know. And you get tired of hearing it. You get tired of the aggravation. You get tired of people that have no joy just beating down everybody else. People that just looking to enforce the law, that legalism thing that they got on them there in the early church on, tried to bring all kinds of laws and all kinds of customs and all kinds of things that they pretty much had decided they couldn't live by anyway. Now these people wanted to lay it down on somebody else. And a greatest example of that I ever saw was at the Special Olympics one time. A friend of mine named Steve Cornwell said, you'll really enjoy this. Come down and help us out. And I went down. Well, my little boy had a broken ankle. And you say, well, what special needs about that? Well, I guess his dad had broken his ankle as a baby, and now this kid was permanently crippled. And, I mean, it was messed up. I guess it had healed back wrong, apparently, and gracious. I mean, this guy was a mess. I want to say his name was Michael. I mean, he's just one of them you never forget. So Michael struggled through all the events all day long, and then he came up to a race there, and he got fifth place, meaning he beat one of the people. And so when he comes across the finish line, I'll never forget this as long as I live, he turns back to the guy that he beat, and he said, I schooled you, man. And I just think of that one thought. Now think on that for just a second. I schooled you. I beat you. Our society is such a beat everybody else down so I can push myself up society that little boy had never won anything. And he wasn't happy in his own victory. I mean, I'm sure he was. But all he wanted to do was turn around and tell one person that he'd beat him down. Isn't that a sad day? Oh, they're just kids. Yeah, they learned that behavior from somewhere. Oh, they're just kids. They'll grow out of it. Not according to the political ads I'm seeing on TV. You know, nobody respects anybody. Nobody cares about anybody else's thoughts or feelings or whatever. Everybody just living in the reality world or the Facebook world. And I love to see about people's family. There's things going on with people's family that I have no idea about. I heard about a horrific crash on 64 the other night. Well, one of the people was a very close friend of mine. And I would not have known about that because I didn't see the names on the news. So the way the news used to be, if you didn't see the news, you missed it and it was gone. Because that paper the next day is gone. So, you know, I would have missed that completely. But people are keeping you up to date. So there's so much good. But then there's that ability to throw out your own thoughts, your own ideas, and to offend somebody else. But guess what? If that's your thought and your opinion and your wall, so to speak, you have every right to do that. Now, does someone else have a right to jump on your wall and disagree or agree? You can take them off of it. I've had to do that a few times recently, and it really kills me because it's people I really liked. But you're going to find in life it's the people that you really like. You know, it's the people that you want to, you want to do something for, you want to be there for, that you appreciate, they're going to be the ones that are going to, they're going to be hard on you. They're going to be the ones that'll be your downfall before it's over with, because you're going to try your best. You're going to do your best, and at the end of the day, it's just not going to do it. And then what do? You know, Jesus said, go into that town, tell them about the gospel, and if they won't receive it, you just go on out, shake off the dust for your feet, and go to the next town. I mean, there's only so much we can do. But I'll tell you something, and I opened up the program with this. If you think Jesus is going to say, son, you're such a great person, you did half of what I needed you to do, or you were halfway saved, come on in here, you're making a big mistake. Because that's not how Jesus works. You've got to surrender. You've got to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And that's just it, you know. I mean, God's got this master plan figured out for you. He wants you to get saved. He wants you to do your very best for him. And he wants to have a personal relationship with you. He doesn't want a relationship with you that goes through the preacher or the Sunday school teacher or anything else. All he's wanting is a direct connection to you. And that's what he paid for in the blood of Jesus Christ. He didn't pay for you to have to go through a high priest. He didn't pay for you to have to go through your Sunday school teacher. He paid for you to have direct access. See, that's where you and I are failing today, is we're not communicating with the creator of the universe. Are you kidding me? We have an opportunity to communicate with the creator of the universe, and we're not doing it. That's exactly what I'm telling you. It's exactly what I'm telling you. Isn't that a scary thing? You can't get there if you're halfway right with Jesus Christ. So make it, get it all the way. It's just you and Jesus this morning. I'm not there with you. I have no idea how many people are listening right now. But you can make this thing right. You can get with Jesus. And I pray you do. Have a great day. God bless.